Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Morning Glory International Voice of Hope with Minister Kim, providing you with that gleam of hope. If you want it, you can have it. I believe it. Welcome, welcome, welcome on this wonderful Saturday morning. Yes, I'm excited to be with all my family and friends. This is your host, Minister Kim, coming from the BX, which stands for the Bronx. Hi there. Welcome, welcome back. I see you in the studio. I'm sending you kisses and hugs. Good morning, good morning. And those who are not on the switchboard, but you are on your phones, maybe you're driving with a headset, hopefully. And if not, please put a headset on or going about your early morning chores. We are so grateful that you decided to join us this morning for another awesome gleam of hope. Today, we are going to embark on an awesome man, a man who is clearly on fire, someone who you might have heard or know about, but right here, he's about to blow your mind. I want to invite you to invite your family and friends to be with us for the rest of this month as we celebrate some of our distinguished men who press their way to who they are today. There's always a story, amen, when you see individuals on platforms, if you see individuals writing their books, or you see people, even the neighbor next door to you, those who you work with, they have a story. You just haven't taken the time out to listen. Well, I'm so grateful that today you have taken the time out, and I'm encouraging you to join us for the remaining month so that we can continue to pour into you and honor these wonderful men. These are just a few. And if you know any man, young or old, a man that you feel can give us a story, well, you know what? Inbox us, email us at themorningglory.org, and we will definitely look at their bio and schedule them to be on air because we want to recognize our men. Because I don't know about you, but do you feel like our men are getting a bad rap? That things have happened in their life that they are responsible for, but there are also things that have happened in their life that they're not. Even as they have pressed towards the mark of a high calling in God and have pursued their dreams, there's still this band-aid. There is still the stigmatism that our men get. So today we want to give you a new look, amen, at our men, and hopefully you will be able to spread the word to share that all men are not dogs, all men are not in jail, all men are not wearing their pants hanging down, all men ain't beating up somebody, they ain't got violent tempers, and they ain't going off not taking care of their families. No, that's just a portion, and that's when every society, not only in the African race, but in every society, there's always someone or something going on, but we always look at the negative. And here we like to look at the positive, amen. And this young man definitely has a positive story, amen, that is going to enlighten us. So if you got some young men around you and you on your phone, put it on speaker. They need to hear it, amen. making that breakfast, that bacon, sausage, eggs, and grits, put it on speaker. Let them hear. When we come back, no other, we're going to have our young man, amen, Mr. Reginald Foreman, who was born in Chicago, Illinois, but raised between Alabama and Florida, and I ain't going to tell you the rest because I like for him to tell his story. We'll be back on the Morning Glory International Voices of Hope. Yep, with your girl, Minister Kim, riding this hope train right to you.
Sometimes discouraged, but not defeated. Cast down, but not destroyed. There are times don't understand, but I believe it's turning around for me. I've had struggles and disappointment. There are times I felt so alone. Some of my friends, they let me down, but I still believe it's turning around for me, around for me,
around for me, around for me,
turning around,
turning around.
I can see the breaking.
I can see the breaking of day.
God is
making a way. Change is coming for me.
If I stay strong.
If I stand strong and believe.
There's no reason to doubt. I know he's working it out. And it's turning around. The good news. It won't always be like this. The Lord will perfect that concerning me. And sooner or later, turn in my favor.
Yes, Lord. Sooner or later, God's going to turn that thing around for your good. I believe he's doing it right now. I believe that your sooner is right now. It's today. Amen. He's turning around. If you could just get your mind on that one thing that you've been struggling with, it could have happened years ago. It could have been a part of your childhood. It could have happened on yesterday, but it gave you some unsettledness. Amen. You was not able to sleep well on last night, but this morning, God woke you up, and he told you to tune in to this radio station today. And this song is just to minister to you to say that God hears you. He sees you. He understands you. But if you just look towards the hill from which cometh our help. Our help comes from God. You can't do it by yourself. We can't do it by ourselves. We need God and we need each other. We need our men to step up. We need them to be strong. We need them to believe. They need to know that we are there for them. Amen? So God is turning around. God is turning your season around. God is turning your household around. He's turning the decision around on your behalf. I believe it today. I trust God today because we have a guest today who is a living witness of what God can do when you trust him, when you take everything that you have gone through and put it in the hands of the Almighty God. When you say, God, I can't do it. I don't even know why I'm in this place. But God, if you just reach out and grab me, Lord, I won't let your hand go until you bless me. I'm going to hold on to you, God, because something has to change. I'm tired of this place that
I am. I'm tired of feeling the way that I do. And God will do it because God has no respect of persons. God has love for all of us. So I'm grateful to have this distinguished man here today. I'm thankful for his life. I'm thankful that he's bold and courageous. I think that he's not ashamed of his story. Amen. He uses it for the good, for God to be recognized, for God to get the glory, for you to get your breakthrough, for the strongholds to come down, for you to be delivered, for you to understand that you have purpose in your life. So come on, if everybody, amen, I know that this is, you know, online radio, amen, but wherever you at, just clap. Let's just set the atmosphere for him to come, amen, because I believe he has a message for you, for your son, for your husband, for those who are around you today. A woman needs to hear this so she could take it back home to encourage someone in her home. Amen? Hallelujah. I feel like blessing God today. Amen. We celebrate women all the time, but when it comes to men, we downplay it, but not here on the Morning Glory International Voices of Hope. We celebrate our men. I thank God that I got some awesome brothers in my life today. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Radio Angels, our guest ready? Because I'm excited. I'm so grateful that he is here with us today. Is Reginald Foreman here?
Yes, yes. Awesome prayer. Awesome.
Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. We know God is here, and we thank God that God allowed you to be here with us today. So we want to welcome you for the very first time to the Morning Glory International Voices of Hope. God bless you, man of God, today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Such a powerful show, indeed.
Amen. To God be the glory. We thank you so much. This is your first time here. And again, I pray that this is not your last time. I read your bio, and I was just intrigued. I was just moved. Amen. You know, when in the green room, we open up in prayer, and I didn't even know that you were on the line already, because I read your bio, and then I heard the song. It just came to me, and everything just made a connection, and the spirit just took over, because often we hear it, we see it, and sometimes we even get into our males, you know, the young males, how they're not going to be nothing, how they this and that and that. And here we have a product of a young man that had some obstacles, some challenges, some unwanted situations, and look who you are today because of the submission and allowing God to step in and take the reins, take control over your life. So I thank you so much for being a part of the kingdom, the greatest kingdom, God's kingdom today, and moving in the realm that God has assigned you to. I thank you wholeheartedly, Reginald. So I know a little bit about you, so I'm going to share a little bit about you, and then we're just going to have a conversation. Is that okay?
Awesome. Yes.
Amen. You were born in Chicago, Illinois, but raised between Alabama and Florida. This occurred because there were some things occurring in your life at a young age. Amen. Can you share with us what was occurring? What was happening that caused you to be living in between various family members?
Well, growing up in Chicago, Illinois, with my mother, she was unstable. And as they say, the saying is, hurt people hurt other people. So my mother had issues with anger and drugs that down the line led her into prostitution. So as I was coming, my mother had me at 17, which not to say that having someone that young messes with you, but it can. And I was basically, my father wasn't there. He was in Miami, Florida, and I was in Chicago. So we lived in areas like the projects. We lived in hood areas where it was a lot of violence and a lot of anger. And being that my mother, when I would have to fight the gangs in the streets and then go home and be abused, you know, my mother was very physical and verbally abusive. As I said again, she had a lot going on in her own life. So, and when my mother was not stable, I was shipped from house to house with relatives from Alabama. They were aunts, uncles, and a lot. I would visit my father every summer, but I was not living with him until a later age. So this basically because my mother was unstable and had a lot going on was what caused me to move around a lot. She was battling drugs.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, later led her into a prostitution lifestyle.
And, you know, one of the things going back, you said that just because you are 17, that does not label or identify you as, you know, having a rough patch, you know, because one of the things that I have seen in ministry and outside of that is that we have young mothers who are soaring and doing excellent and well,
mm-hmm.
but sometimes the whole environment, picture of the environment, you know, being a single mother, being young, being a single parent, and living in an environment that's not conducive for you to thrive
yes.
in, especially when you don't
yes.
have that support. It's so important, whether you're a young teen or not, to have that support. You know, the cliche is that it takes a village to raise a family, to raise a child, and it's true. You need the neighbor support. But if everybody in your environment is going through the same or similar things, and they got their own issues, and they struggling and all that, they don't have time. They don't have room. They don't even acknowledge that sometimes you even exist, that you are struggling with your own stuff. So they can't really extend a hand because they don't even know how to, because they're just trying to figure out how to get by day. And the reason why I'm saying that, because oftentimes we hear people say, well, you know I'm going through, why they don't help? No, sometimes people don't know that you're going through something. You need to just say, hey, not going to do, look, I'm having some issues here. Can you help me with this child? Or can you help me with this? Can you help me with that? Do you need some resources? Because of the simple fact that we are all going through something. So now you are at home dealing with the situation.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You go to family when, I guess, it's at a peak level, maybe danger sets in or family members are worried about your well-being, amen, your life, your safety. But in the summertime, you commute back and forth. You're going to your dad's. Did any time was your father aware? What was you going on? Did you not say, Dad, I don't want to go back home, you know, when school starts, can I stay here? Like, how long did this duration take place in your life?
Well, I didn't say that until it got really physical violent. It wasn't that my mother was doing it for a long time, you know, in an abuse
mm-hmm.
stage. It started off verbally. And then sometimes
mm-hmm.
the stigma in an African-American household is that if you get hit with a racetrack or broom, whatever, that's just the way we're raised. But not, it's called physical
right.
abuse. And
mm-hmm.
I was used to it, being a hard-headed, but then a lot of times like I said, it was as I got more into my pre-teenage where my uncle had to pull my mother off of me. She was punching me in my head. I remember him telling her, you can't hit that boy like that. And I remember
mm-hmm.
running out the house one time because I had a little brother. Me and my brother was there. Well, I had a sister, too. My sister was shipped off with her father. We all had different fathers.
Mm-hmm.
She gave her, my mother gave my sister to her father at a young age, and then it was my little brother in my life. And I always tell people it was a light-skinned, dark-skinned because he looked like, if you know basketball, I always say Scottie Pippen and Michael Jordan. My brother was light-skinned and I was dark-skinned. So I always tell people that it's neither here nor there why my mother was doing it. But it seemed like he caught the love that I never got. I don't know if it was hard and my mother was mad at my father, but it was a lot of anger towards me. And if I looked at my brother wrong, if I hit him, she was coming upside my head. So there was a lot of anger once, a lot of more violence came in once he came in, because my mother showed him a lot of love and babied him. So
mm-hmm.
I just the main time that I did go to my father was when the last time, like I said, I was about, I guess, 12 or 13. We had moved. I had moved to Alabama with relatives. Then my mother came. We left the Chicago project. She came. We were staying in a trailer park in Alabama. And I had it out. I said something back to my mother, because she was fussing at me about my brother, and I think I really was letting her know how she's always taking his side. And as she came at
mm-hmm.
me to hit me, I ran out the door, and I just remember tools being thrown at me. I ran to a neighbor's house, a friend's house, and I called my father, and I was telling him, you know, I really want to, I got to get away from him, I want to come.
Mm-hmm.
My father did something that kind of shocked me. He told me to go back to my house and respect my mother. Go back, and there's not time, I'm coming to get you. To my father, never down talk my mother in front of me or anything. Now, there's been times, like you asked me earlier, he would come to the Chicago Project and was like an investigator.
Mm-hmm.
He would go in her room when she wasn't there, or he found butts in the ashtray. He knew she was smoking. So I don't know what conversation they had, but he was always looking around to see what was going on around me. But What I found out is at a certain age of high school, they had agreed for me to move with him.
Okay.
So that's what happened. I was supposed to move with him. So about after that situation where she was trying to hit me with the tools and stuff, I ended up very shortly after moving to Miami, Florida.
Okay. So the first door opens. You, 17, 18, you ready to go to high school. And there's a conversation apparently that had, and it was agreed upon that now you would move, and you left.
No, I was like 14, day, 15 when I moved to Miami.
14. Okay,
yeah,
so
I was younger.
When you 14, 15, right,
mm-hmm.
Okay, 14, 15, after all that you was dealing with, you know now that you're about to transition. You're going to go somewhere else to live, right? How did that feel? Like, oh, this is it. I'm getting out of here. Or was you like, I'm leaving my mom? You know, regardless of what a mother does, you know, it's said, you know, that child still loves her. You still want her. You want that affection. You want that nurturing. But you know that there's abuse, whether it's verbal or physical. You still want that child. So was there some separation anxiety that you were dealing with at that time, or you were good and saying, I'm happy. I'm glad you came to save me, Dad. I'm ready to go. See you later, Mom. How was transition for you?
Not at the moment it wasn't. My life was compared to the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, the TV show with Will Smith. Moving from the projects,
mm-hmm.
to the hood to a middle income. My stepmother, my father was married, and I would tell people this joke that when talking to her on the phone, you thought you were talking to a white woman because she was so proper. And coming from the Chicago projects, you're used to black people talking in slang. So I was anyway at a younger age. So it was a whole different. I'm moving to a four bedroom house three bedroom house with a pool. We got four cars. My people made well over $100,000 together. It was a real change. So I was happy to be moving where palm trees was, beautiful neighborhoods. I was happy to see that.
Mm-hmm.
And for a while. Now there was a time that I was in my bedroom, and I was laying on the floor, and I was going through a mindset of thinking about my mother, and I had a pair of scissors in my hand. I remember just zoned out, stabbing the floor with the scissors. And my father came in the room. He sat on the edge of the bed. He said, "Hey, what was going on with you? You going crazy?" Just was talking to me, and I turned around and looked at my father, and I said, "I want to get my mother off drugs and prostitution. I want to help my mother."
Mm.
I can't remember exactly how long ago that was after I moved, but at the beginning, of course, I was not thinking about my mom. I was, I'm sorry. My mother wrote me a letter. That's what happened. It's been so long. She wrote me a letter apologizing, saying that I always loved you, and you're my firstborn, and you think I love Brandon more. She actually wrote me a letter, and I forgave my mother. So as we go into my story, because my story is very big about what I went through my mother, I forgave my mother before I even got saved. And now my thing goes into protecting and helping her. My father said something to me that was very key that set the tone of my life. He looked down at me. He said, "You can't help your mother until you help yourself."
Mm.
And this became the purpose of what my life story is in my book about living determined. A lot of people are trying to pull people out of situations, but we first have to make sure our glass is overflowing before we detox, we don't have enough strength to give to others.
Mm.
And I actually saw that on an Oprah show. I heard her say something after I was already thinking that. She was saying, it's hard for you to go out and save the world when you're half empty and you don't have enough strength. It would deplete you. You won't have the strength.
Mm. Jesus. Yes, yes, yes. You can't help someone until you help yourself. Your glass needs to be overflowing. I say that all the time. I have to give you out of my surplus. I can't give you out of my surplus. I mean, my surplus. I need to give you out of my surplus. I can't give you because I need to be a good steward over what God has given me. And when I get to my surplus, then I can share and it'll be overwhelmed. We both will be happy and blessed. Amen.
Yeah.
And you're right, not only financially, but even emotionally, spiritually, we need to be stable before we try to help others. And I believe we do it. I believe that sometimes, and I know we're going to go to a commercial break, I have the cue, but I believe, honestly, the reason why we have individuals out there unstable within themselves wanting to help or try to fix people is because they really don't want to deal with their own issues. And they don't understand that. Why do I make myself available and extend myself to others when I'm not even making myself available to me? You are the first person that you need to take care. You are the image of Christ. So if I'm going out to help, people look at me like,
how you got so much information from me, but how you applied it to your life, I don't see it. So we'll be back on the Morning Glory International Voice of Hope. We got to leave you with that. That's a drop of a nugget to understand you, assess you during our break right now as we're looking at our distinguished men. And today we have Reginald Foreman. Amen. Mother grew up. Mother, addictive, abusive. How his life transitioned. Amen. From Illinois. Amen. To Florida, where the palm trees are at, living in that three-bedroom house, cars all over, amen, the change, the transition, that one opportunity. I always say, God, just give me that one opportunity, and that's what it takes, one opportunity that can change your perspective on life, amen. We'll be back on the Morning Glory International Voices Hope.
Are you looking to get started in real estate, but not sure how or where to start? Join me and many others at Getting Started in Real Estate. This community is not just for newbies. It's for the seasoned investor, too. In the world of real estate, there is much to learn at all stages of your business. Join us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/Getting Started in Real Estate. Let the learning begin. This message is brought to you by Angel Power Holdings.
So right now, Angel Power Holdings, the founder, our radio angel, Kim M. Sutters, please follow her on our Facebook page as well as our very own, which is PIP Woman Rock. Amen. Some awesome stuff is about to take place. Please stay connected. Amen. Connection is key. Connection is key to your life. Amen. That one opportunity that you need could be a part of a connection. So, Reginald, okay, take us down your life. Okay, so you leave, you have this encounter, your dad says, look, son, you can't help nobody until you help yourself. But you had a passion to want to save, help your mother, and I commend you for that at a young age. And then you said something that was key. You said, I had forgiven my mother even before I got saved. I no longer held on to what took place. What led to that portion of you, or that portion of your heart that says, I need to let go. I need to let go whatever feelings, whatever unresolvement that I have in here with my mom. Did you separate your mom from the addiction and the behaviors that was created through the addiction? Did you understand the addictive personality? Like, what took place? Because that is a major transition, because you still have old grown folks angry with their parents because of what they did, because they got strung out on crack cocaine and they walked away out of their life. How can someone right now that's listening to us today begin the forgiveness process, begin to be reconnected to their parent because they heard your story and they heard how God took you through the process of forgiving? Amen.
Well, before I go into that, I have to do this. I hear God was touching on my spirit to clarify more of the help yourself before you help someone else, to go give them more clarification, because it is what God was saying to me more. I don't want people to think that, okay, I don't have enough money to help you, I can't help you. If you have 10 and God tells you to give 5, you want to be obedient to the Holy Spirit.
Give 5.
You want to be able to help at every point you can. But more so what you touched on and what I was saying is what the emotional and the tiredness that a lot of people go through, where done so much and now they're going down into a pit of depression itself because they gave all they had. So what God showed me is you purposely, like before I go out, I pray. I'm in worship, I'm in music, because I know that I'm called to do this. So if you're going to purposely help people, purposely fool yourself up. Don't use an excuse, well, I ain't got myself together, I can't help this person next door. You can. But you also want to make sure that you are filling yourself up. You're doing to the limit. But don't overdo it, and then for 2-3 days you don't refill yourself, or you don't pray, or you don't go back to God. Because God is about his people. So I just wanted to clear that up, that we're called to help people, some big, some small. But you can't be on a Bishop T.D. Jakes level and you're not tapping into God. Daily, purposely.
Jesus.
On
say that
on
again.
Purpose tapping in. You can't do what you're doing from the radio station if you don't have yourself plugged into God on your show.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So that's what I'm saying by you can't help somebody until you help yourself. It's just purposely knowing that, okay, I have to keep myself full so that when I go and talk to this person, minister to this person, or pray with this person, that I don't be so depleted that I can't bounce back.
Mm-hmm,
okay, so
I hear, and that's why I always tell people I give out of my surplus, because you have to be able to fill yourself up with God. God has to be the center of your life, because the virtue comes out when you're ministering, when you're pouring out, when you're on that platform, and you know you're encouraging the people. It's virtue comes out. Life is coming out of you. It will drain you. And this is why it's so important to have someone to intercede for you, to pour back into you, for you to get to a place where you say, you know what, I didn't deal with the people. No, I don't want to go out to dinner right now. I need to get somewhere and pray. I need to get myself, you know, refilled again, because I can feel I'm depleted. I'm weak. You know, the energy level that I had going on stage, I don't have it right now. Or even on the,
right.
You ever been on a call?
Right.
Have you ever been on a call? And, you know, you're just having a regular conversation with someone, and then they open up to you. And when you get off that call, you feel drained.
Indeed.
You feel absolutely drained, and you're saying, what just happened? I had experienced that some time ago in ministry. I wasn't even called at that point. Probably was called, but didn't know I was called. But I remember being at work, Reginald, and a young lady that I knew, she was dealing with her marriage. And she had just a bad moment. She called me, and she just dumped it all on me. And I was listening and encouraging what I thought I was doing right. But when I hung up that phone, I felt like I was having a heart attack.
I felt like I was seriously having
a heart attack.
Right.
And I'm sitting at my desk. I couldn't get up. All I could do was dial. And I wound up dialing her back. And I was like, I don't know what just happened. But I had pains in my chest. She was like, you know, try to get somebody at the desk, you know, at the job. I said, no, I'm in my office by myself. She said, can we only call the front desk for you? And she was like, oh, you know what it is? I dumped on you. I didn't pray out. I didn't seal anything I said. I dumped on you. And she began to pray. And all of a sudden, I felt the uplifting. But I felt like I had sharp pains in my heart. But it was really her pain that I took on.
But you know what? Even deeper than that, I must say, we have to make sure that a lot of us want to save the world, and some people you're not called to help. God, you'll step into something by your love to help people, and it'll be a battle that God didn't call you into. Or you'll go over and beyond. I might can talk to you for 5 minutes, pray with you and move, but I can't sit there an hour. I have to know when the Holy Spirit is cutting me off, just like a preacher on a platform or a speaker. Sometimes we overdo it, and we're standing in our strength and not in God's strength. I have to learn that in my head. And then second, I was learning about knowing what is your strength and weakness, and your weakness. When I was dating my pastor's daughter, since we're on this topic, I definitely came up with a bad temper. I inherited it from my mother, and I grew up in the project, and I was bullied. Mm-hmm. So fighting was my thing. I had an attitude and temper, still letting the Holy Spirit control it, because you can never get rid of anger. You can only control it. And when I would come out of the door, my pastor's daughter would pick me up. If I would snap off, she immediately said, you ain't prayed and read your Bible this morning, huh? So she knew, and I knew, I have to. So I tell people, there's whether you've been on drugs, whether you're very promiscuous, whether you have anger, you have to know what level you have to. Reginald Foreman has to stay in worship. I have to stay in the Bible, because I've been through so much, from prison to violence and streets and depression and everything. Suicidal thoughts will get more. So I've been through so much attempt that I have to be in the Bible more. So it's not that I'm a Bible thumper hitting nobody on the head in the Bible, but I know if I don't stay in the worship, Reggie Reg, which was my street name, will come out. So the purpose that's what they call me. I'm a transparent dude. I don't play church. I don't play all that. I let people know that other person going to come out. That's why we get it twisted. The Bible wasn't just for you to be an impression of somebody else. It was to impact you first. You need to know who God is in your life. You need to know, okay, God, man, you need a one-on-one. I'm going through this. I'm going through it. Instead of now you have a little name or a platform, let me show these people how saved or how powerful I am. No, because that's when you'll fall. So I just wanted to say that that's my biggest thing of helping other people, is making sure I am equipped and I am full and I am doing it in His will and not me trying to save the world, and I'm in my own strength.
Amen. Amen. I am getting
Texas and Texas, so I thank you. Those who are on the switchboard, they like, I feel you. Amen. Amen. People want to get into the book, but before we even get into the book, we really want to talk about what you said about the. I asked you about the portion of forgiving your mom.
My mother. What I can say clearly about that is I didn't know about forgiveness when I was at that age. I just knew that was my mother. And I was built, and I say that about, from a young age, my first fight, real fight, was for somebody else. I don't like bullies. I was created, built by God to help people. This is what I'm doing now. So I'm saying for me personally, I like to help people. I'm a person of purpose. I saw purpose in going to help my mother. Now, if we can go and speed it up into, like you said, about helping people forgive people, I understand now very – and you know what really helped me out? I'm going to have to switch over and tell a little bit of my wife's story. My wife came up abused by her dad, and when I used to hear his testimony of how he did it, I used to want to go fight that dude. Like, he used to do what? And I was so angry at him, and my wife told me, I forgave my – they're the best of friends. Now, it's a beautiful relationship. She said, I forgave my father because he was not his drugs. It was the drugs making him do that. He was under the substance, so I accept that. Now, what I do in the spiritual about holding grudges and forgiving people, I understand to the fullest. I do it immediately. When I hold grudges, it hinders me. And for anybody that's listening, I don't care how bad they did. There's so many relatives when I went through the bank robbery, went through prison, that didn't answer their phone and didn't have no money. And then when I got on the front of the paper and got here, they called. I always knew you could make it. Did you know I wanted to say, Negro, please? Was not on my side. Do you know how bad I wanted to say that? And I said, I'm going to hinder my growth if I step into that with them.
That's been a couple of days
that I did, and immediately with the Holy Spirit, God is about loving his people, but more than anything, it's for you. They ain't getting away with nothing. They ain't getting away with nothing when they harm you, whoever it is. But it's for you to be free, process, and walk in boldly. When nobody can hold that on you, as soon as you hear their name, if it pop in your head, ooh. You think you forgave me, but if you hear that name and something pop in your spirit, you need to look, Lord, I ain't let that go yet. And it's still hindering you. So that's what I talk about forgiveness. Now, my wife know me in a minute. I'm like, look. And sometimes she's like, it's just funny because she protects me. Man, they said this about you. And they typing this on because when you get your name out there, people can get their opinion on social media. I just say, I don't care. Oh, so what? They ain't changing nothing. That's them hurt. Because now more than anything, I remember, Reggie, this is for you. They ain't, because when you come from the streets, you want to fight people. So it was hard. It's hard for me sometimes. But the more I build up on the Holy Spirit, remember, Reggie, this is for you. God is blessing you. You got to stay full, because if you let it out in grudges and anger, you won't be able to be productive and go higher. So that's the biggest thing about my mother. My thing is to reiterate, I love my mother. I knew. Once she apologized, though, I'm not going to lie, the letter helped me. The letter she wrote me helped me, and I was like, okay, Mom. And then later on, as I keep going through so many things, I remember that forgiveness frees me first.
He's saying, y'all, forgiveness frees you first. You want to be free? You want to be all that God destined you to be? Forgive. Well, the grudges you are holding, forgive. I think the best thing that I've learned is to be true to myself, Reginald. Be true to myself. Know that I have some unforgiveness in my heart, knowing that I'm holding a grudge. Like you said, you know, when you went through that armed robbery, when you needed someone to call and nobody was answering the phone, they probably didn't even see you, no packages. But the moment you started revolving, amen, and moving and shaking and doing things where money could come in and, you know, the steam comes in, everybody know you, and you're like, hold up. You know, it takes you back there. Right? But then you have to come to yourself, and that's why staying in the Word. Get in the Word and stay there. Amen?
Yes.
When the Word of God gets so engraved in your heart, with the Holy Spirit comes up and rises, you're not Reggie from way back then. I've renewed you. Amen? I've given you a new mind. So that's not what we're going to do. We're going to love them anyhow, in spite of. And truth be told, some things I believe happen for a reason. Nothing happens for an accident. Maybe God didn't want you to be able to reach out to them. Who knows? I don't know.
Now, see,
but
now
I know who you are today, right?
You just brought it up. That's the deep. That I have to help with that. I had to learn that. That was another thing that helped me forgive them. I understood God removed people out of the way so I can draw closer to them. It took me a while to get that messed up. I was like, now where were these people at? And he showed me just what you said. If you can easily call somebody when you're in a problem, go to this person, and you don't pray, he'll make it so that you can only reach him so you can grow stronger and find out his power.
Jesus, grow stronger in the Lord by reaching out to God every day. Every day. And sometimes those calls that you're making, God says, no, I need you to call me. Call my name, and I will surely answer you. And that means even in the midnight hour, you can trust that God's going to answer you. So start turning those phone calls into a dialogue with God. We'll be back on the Morning Glory International Voices of Hope. We're going to dive right into your book. Amen. Because I have questions, questions, questions. They are coming in, and I definitely don't want to leave our guests as well as our audience hanging out there because they're like, hello. All right, so we'll be back on the Morning Glory International Voice Hope. That means we need to get you back on here, Reginald.
And I don't have to go through grief staging, for it's all to run. It has to go through the shaking, the beating, and the pressing. And just like the olive, some of you may have felt like you go through the shaking, the beating, and the pressing. You went through all of that for your oil to flow. Now your greater is coming. If it had not been for the shaking, I never would have been ready for the making. No. If it had not been for the beating, I would have never knew how anointed I would be. Oh yeah. If it had not been for the prayer,
for the shaking or the breaking, you wouldn't be ready for this. Reginald Foreman, he had to go through.
Yeah.
He had to go through the shaking. You had to go through it. Amen. At the age of 19, Reginald was incarcerated for armed bank robbery, which he served 4.5 years. He was released in 2001 in error. How do you get released from prison in error? Look at God, the hand of God. Then, and now look at the hand of God in his life now. He was brought back to prison in 2004. He was told that he was released from prison by mistake, then served four more years doing a sentence of 8.5 years altogether. While incarcerated, while confined physically, Reginald attended as many self-improved classes as possible and received over 20 certificates of completion. During his incarceration, Reginald accepted Jesus Christ as his personal Lord. I tell you, just because you're physically incarcerated or physically bound, that don't mean your spirit can't do some things. Amen. God was already changing his mindset while he was in that state. So I believe, honestly, it was not an error. What the enemy meant for evil, God truly turned it around for your good. God knew that he had to bring you back to a place where he had your undivided attention. Because, see, when you came back into the prison house, you started getting serious. You started doing some work within yourself. There we go again. Your father said that you can't help nobody until you help yourself. The God gave you a clear revelation that you can't do anything until you see me first, until you seek my face first, until you get into my word first. Then you can do what you need to do, because after all of that, amen, hallelujah, look what God does. Look what God does. You accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You later on
create an LLC that's called Godly Image Ministries and Business that showcases your inspirational and motivational writings. You have greeting cards. You write plays. You do movies. You do fashion. Oh, my God, you do so much. I even have your T-shirt up for people to purchase it. Now, look at what happens. God continues to bless you, continues to flow. All of the stuff that you have gone through, you're telling your own story, so nobody else has to tell it because, you know, other people put their own little injections in, amen. That's not going to be uplifting to nobody. But look what God does. He moves you again into the appeal. So now you're doing Godly Image and God-made apparel. That gives you a fashion industry to represent who? You're representing God. You are traveling throughout the United States and going into countries such as Africa and France. Then, in 2013, God Image Apparel achieves a retail advertisement. Excuse me, I'm so excited for you. Advertisement deal with a faith in that. Now you on cover magazines. Come on now, this type of God we serve, right? You on fashion magazine, the cover. Okay, now you say, you know what, Lord? Is there anything else? And God says yes. You have this amazing book called Live Determined. Don't let your struggles bully your dreams. You was once called, identified as an angry, aggressive, and a bully, part of gangs, amen, did armed robbery, and now God flipped that. Now you, a living testimony, writing and standing before young, middle age, older people identify what bully is, the spirit of bullying. Wow, isn't that kind of powerful? I just had to do that to let people know, honey, your past won't determine your future. You got to allow God to determine who he wants you to be. Amen?
Amen.
So tell us about the book.
Well, my book, like you said, Live Determined. Let me say this clearly because I believe that there's many authors on this radio station. A lot of people are in fear or don't believe that they have a story to tell. We all have a story to tell. Mine definitely has a lot of deep twists and turns, a lot of anger, it's a movie, which we'll get into that. I am pitching my life story to Hollywood right now. But each one of us have a story. I fought God for 2 years. I didn't want to write a book. My purpose was to be the first faith-based Sean John Ralph Lauren, first Polo Tommy Hilfiger. I wanted to be a fashion designer. I did not want to write a book.
Mm-hmm.
So I kept hearing to write a book, tell my story. Because what would happen when I would go to fashion shows, people would, you know, let me tell my story for about 2 minutes before Christian comedy shows plays. They let me have the mic and say what I was doing. It was in the fashion magazine talk. And so many people would come after even in tears. I had people buy the product in boatloads, and God kept saying, I call you to speak. But I was saying, my mindset, which we do, is when I get in Paris, when I'm in all these stores, then I'll write a book because I'm looking at how the financial and my book would sell more. But God wants to use the small stuff. God, I want you to write a book now so that people will be delivered from your story.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was speaking in St. Louis, Missouri, at Aeneas Williams, he's a football Hall of Famer now. He has his own church and everything. 200-plus men, my first, and I was a big audience. I was speaking to these men. After I got through speaking, they kept asking, we need your book. We want more. Where's your book? I said, okay, God. Now, not just that, but I started getting less of sales on my website.
Mm.
It was like things were shutting down and pushing me to be obedient, to bless me, because this book has opened so many doors. So my book is, I finally was obedient. It flowed. I wrote the book. It's 10 chapters of my life, but also not just talking about me, but each chapter talks about helping people overcome a situation, overcoming fear, overcoming pride, overcoming being not just body in prison, but like you said, spiritually in prison, overcoming lack. So many people don't start a business because they think they need $10,000, $20,000. I started my business right out of prison with a $1,000 income tax return. God came to me, and what I tell people is listen to the help that God sends. A guy came to me about me starting. He said, do you have a website? Do you have business cards? I said, no. And he said, how do you expect to compete with the people on higher levels? You don't have those small things. So I took a because you know, you get your income tax, and I was married then. You go pay bills, you buy furniture, you buy clothes, you do all that. But if you have an idea in your spirit, it'll take that small seed in faith. I took that, got a website, got my business cards, and yes, I got orders from Africa, from France. But also, I have to say this because I want to help people in business. Christian people just put stuff on shirts and because they love Jesus and they try to sell us shirts. But if you're going to scale and be a business, you have people want to look good. They want a nice shirt. They want designs. And
mm-hmm,
I know the youth.
Mm-hmm.
I know the hip-hop. I know the world. So I switched it. My first shirt was God Bless My Haters. I sold a lot of shirts. My second shirt was God Made Me What Can Break Me. I got in my red old pickup truck and drove to barber shops and beauty salons selling my T-shirts, door-to-door selling. And people, I saw that people had the same emotions and pains that I thought, and they were buying the shirts up. But I didn't know how to scale a business, and I quit for a whole year. And I was in a Pentecostal church, and a woman was behind me praising God. I mean, when I say she was so loud, I thought she was at a rock concert. And she tapped me on my shoulder. She said, sir, she got quiet as I don't know what. And she said, sir, are you trying to start a business? God said he's going to do it if you keep him first. I was done. I said, Lord, I can't do this no more. I can't get a job. This business is taking too long. We try to quit our vision with trying to add our timing in there. Don't short-circuit your vision trying to add your timing. And that lady spoke to me a year later, and that's when it started again. So I had to say all that to give the meat of the book. This is my book. It is empowering. I've been getting people hitting me back left and right. Now, what the book has done for me, which is not in my bio, I need to update it. I'm sorry. I just came off the CBN 700 Club. If anybody don't know what the 700 Club is, it's this nationwide TV platform for Christian news. It's powerful. It's big. Millions of homes. They did my biography on there, on the 700 Club, because of my story, but also because I was an author, had a book. They said that the producer wrote me, inboxed me. I mean, he sent me an email and said that 98 people, after the second day of it being aired, got saved. And 158 people rededicated their life off of my testimony. I was so cool, and I was like, oh, my God. Because I know I've helped people individually here and there, but God had to reiterate. Now, this is where I needed to hear that, because I started to try to impress people. This is what happened when you've been left alone and people turn their back on you. I was trying to be so successful to show people I made it or to pay the bill so quick that God was like, you're missing the point of your purpose that I call you to do. And that will happen. That will happen in the church. People get caught up in their titles. They get caught up in who they are. They get caught up in somebody always saying that they're big, and God has to humble me and remind me, I called you to help you. All that, he said, if you seek the kingdom of God, all shall be added. He's going to take care of you.
But he'll
take care of you at the level that you can handle it. And this is what this did. Now I just came from TBN. I was on Juice TV, just came from L.A. being interviewed on another TV show. So what I'm saying is this book has been a blessing of being, I fought God for 2 years. There's somebody out here, know they're supposed to make a move, and they're not moving because they're like Peter. Well, not like Peter, because Peter did step out on the water. They're like other people scared to get out the boat. And you have to trust God. So, yeah, this is what the book is about. And now we're in the midst. Like I said, I've been talking to producers. My life story is a mix of Antoine Fisher that had Denzel Washington in that movie and a mix of Pursuit of Happiness with Will Smith. And now we're right now talking to some producers. And I'm getting a lot of good views. So, look, my life story is called From Purpose to Pain. And I'm in the midst of getting it put into Hollywood.
Oh, thank you so much. So we have a few questions for you that was text. So I'm going to open up my mic, and the mics are open. If you're online right now, if you want to inbox or you on our switchboard, just press my favorite number, amen, number one, and we will definitely bring you in so that you can state comments or ask any questions to our guests today. Amen. Oh, we have one already from our sister Tina. She says, God is so good. He is answering my questions about my inheritance. It's my fear that is stopping me from writing my story. Amen. So sister Tina is on the line, and Reginald, she's saying that you are definitely in her lane, and she feels that her fear. Have you ever dealt with fear? I know you said that you ran from God for 2 years because you had your own vision of what you were going to do. But was it the root of it? Was it, you think, fear, so that we can help her move out of fear and into the will of God so we can hear her story someday?
Right. Well, for one thing, a lot of us don't think we're qualified or that we're somebody. You're created in God's image. you're creating. I tell people to close their eyes and think about this, because this is where godly image came from. I was 19 years old in prison, laying on my bunk, facing 18 and a half years of legal sentence. And I opened to Genesis. And this is when, when I got saved, I was cursing at God. I was going off. Where the heck, where the F were you when my mother was abusing me? Where were you at when these dudes were chasing me home? Where were you at when I was hungry? And God said, I had a purpose for you. This is a purpose for this. So I say all this to say, everything that you've been through, he had to show me I created you in my matchless image. First, you have to know you're worthy of your book being wrote. You're worthy of being successful. You're worthy of upgrading yourself in a job or wherever. You are worthy of it because you're created in God's image. Then you have to understand that there's purpose in your pain. I battled fear because I kept saying, well, who am I? Look how my mother was on drugs, prostitution. My father went from corporate America, which we didn't get into that. My father was a corporate America, suits and suspenders every day. He ended up pimping women and selling drugs right before my eyes. My brother was shot in the head at 18 through gangs. Everything went wrong in my life. And I thought that I was not worthy. I don't care if you've been abused, raped, or people call you fat, black, and ugly. Oprah was told that she should not be on TV because she was fat, black, and ugly. We know her story. So first you need to know that you deserve it, and that would distill fear out the way. Then you have to know, okay, then you got to get professional. If you need to go on YouTube, I went to YouTube school. When I couldn't afford to go to college, I was on YouTube at 5 a.m. in the morning on the computer figuring out how to do my design. My wife would come and try to take the computer off my lap. I'd wake up, hey, I ain't sleep. I'm doing something. She said, boy, you've been asleep for 2 hours. I kept staying focused on knowing that if I have to make a way to happen, and God will give you the strength. So fear attacked me, but I always remember that there's an answer to whatever fear you have. It's a false appearance of things appearing real. You don't have to be fearful once you know who you are and that you matter and God has a purpose for you.
Awesome, awesome. I pray that that helped you, Sister Tina, that you will overcome that fear. Amen, so that we can hear your story once again. And you know we are here for you to support. And I'm going to add, stay in your word. Amen. Look up scriptures that overcome fear. Recite them every day. That builds your confidence in God. You know, I tell people that all the time. But, you know, whatever you're dealing with, go to the word. Look it up. It could be fear. It could be doubt. And you go to scripture,
that's
you
true.
Start reading that, and you start overcoming
yes.
it, because the word of God will break it. It will pull down strongholds in your life, and it will give you what you need, amen, what the spirit needs, so that you can overcome it and do what you called to do, amen, because there's no procrastination in the kingdom of God. There's no procrastination. So we definitely want to look at that. We have another inbox question for you. She says, thank you so much. She's in the middle of chapter 6. Praise God. Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you. Looking for it. Yes, that's what it is. Reading it. That's it. Read it. Stay up all night. Do what you got to do. Do what you need to do. Stay up. Do what I want to get this book. You know what? Tina, we want to challenge you. I know you're up to chapter 6. I don't know how many chapters that God has led you to write. But let's see this happen before this year closes. Amen? I believe sometimes you need
Amen.
Accountability partners. So we want to be your
Amen.
Accountability partner. We on the Morning Glory International Voices of Hope, we want to be your accountability partner. And we want to see this happen for you. Amen? Because I know
your story is
going
to
bless
the world
today.
Right, and if you need, I just want to say that if you need any help or prayer, you can email me. You go to my website, reginaldforman.com. I get pastors, you wouldn't believe me, ask me, how do you start a fashion line, or how do I write a book?
Yeah.
I'll help you as much as I can. You can email me. You can go to my website, reginaldforman.com, or reggieforman3@gmail.com. That's reggieforman3@gmail.com. Or go to my website, and I'll pray you through or give you as much at the moment that I can.
Thank you so much. I just sent it to her. I just inboxed her. It's Reginald Foreman, foreman.com. All right?
Yes, ma'am.
Let's make it happen. Amen. Please, Tina, do us a favor. Please keep us posted and where you at, amen, in your book. As we are going to be accountable to you, we also need you to do the same. Amen. This is a partnership, and we definitely want to see that book on our shelves. Amen. I ain't talking about Amazon. I'm talking about on our shelves. We want to see it on our shelves right here. We'll be back more from our distinguishing guest today, Mr. our brother in the gospel, Reginald Foreman. Amen. Right here on the Morning Glory International Voice. So we'll be back because we have some more questions for you. God bless.
Eddie Farr will be having its annual singles conference from Friday, July 8th to Sunday, July 10th. This year's theme is Maximizing Your Singleness. Pastors Wilton and Clarelle DeGraff from Grace Gospel Tabernacle in Queens Village, New York, will be your facilitators for the weekend. In addition to fabulous times of worship and experiencing God's presence, come and hear a timely word, anointed word from the Lord. We have breakout sessions such as Leaving a Legacy and How You Should Handle Your Finances. In addition, we'll have a special guest DJ and a live Christian jazz band. There'll be tons of food, fellowship, and a lot of fun. So if you've never been married, you're divorced or widowed, that means you're single and this weekend is for you. Come expecting great things from God and we look forward to seeing you there in July. Please go to eddyfarm.com, that's E-D-D-Y, farm.com to register, or you can call 845-858-4300 to register and get more information.
Coming up right here on the Morning Glory International Voice Out, we have Here's to Our Hood, meaning what is happening? What is happening in our hood with our radio angel, Kim M. Sutt, is holding us down in that area. So before we leave, Reginald, today, we have another question, amen, and we definitely hope that we can get you back on and keep us informed of your endeavors, amen. This is a question. Someone definitely read your book. You refer to overcoming counterfeit blessings in your book. What does that mean, overcoming counterfeit blessings? Jesus.
Well, I had a lot of times in my life where things came to me that I thought was from God. That a lot of times we go through a door and we try to make things happen.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you're moving past the spirit because you're impatient. You're tired. You're like, all right, man, this sounds good. This person came out that I pray. And then I had to learn that the enemy can hear you pray as well. And then you have to be able to check the intentions of the person, but also the intention of yourself. I don't believe the saying is too good to be true, but you always want to pray and make sure who's coming at you. Because when something is getting ready to come blessing for you, you have counterfeit things. Things will come. There have been counterfeit people I thought I was supposed to marry, and they wasn't my wife. So there's always something that will try to oppose you. If you move too fast, mm-hmm. if you rush to do it, if I can't pray and get peace about it, I'm moving too fast. I've had one of the counterfeit blessings. I had a person say they was going to put $20,000 in my business. And then they didn't happen. They was there for a minute, then they disappeared, and all kind of stuff happened. Now, that can happen in the natural, but every time it's been God, it happened. It worked. It was at peace. It wasn't no – it's just like you get in a house, and then you can barely afford to pay the mortgage.
Right.
God's not going to give you nothing that's going to overtake you. He's going to supply you for the blessing and to handle the blessing. That's one of the things you can know. You know, I got to figure out how to get all this money. I'm supposed to go to L.A. I'm supposed to do this. I ain't going to pay this bill so I can go here. That's not God. He's an abundant. He'll make sure you're supplied and that everything will give you peace. So I've had a lot of counterfeit blessings because of me. I thought it was another one I was going to, so we moved to the next. I came from St. Louis to Virginia. I live in Richmond now. And a guy, he's an A&R in hip-hop music and all that. He saw my shirts, my God made, because my God made shirts reach everybody from the world to the street. They love it.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, yo, we're going to go do this club. We're going to flip this music. My wife looked at his Instagram page and said, I don't like him. I didn't want to listen because I was trying to make money. I had this money in my pocket to invest. Was trying to burn it. He can get me linked to the hip-hop world, to the red carpets and all. And I was like, now, I did my little due diligence. I drove down to his house in Orlando, ate with his family. I thought he was the real deal. But now, I'm numb to the Holy Spirit. Everything is looking good. But my wife said, now I thought she was just looking at him bad just because he got gold teeth and he got his middle finger up on some of his pictures. Like, well, I minister to people from the streets. She said, and she's been right. She was like, no, I don't like him. Long story short, he ended up stealing money from me. Signed the contract and everything. And I'm still, now the Reggie Reg want to come out. I want to drive down there and lay hands on him in a different way. That's what I was going through with them emotions. She said, and they talked me out of it. Of course, my accountability brother, keep people accountable around you too. So you bring the idea. So, yo, I got this offer, and they want me to do this. Go to your accountability person who you know hears from God, and they're,
uh-huh,
and they're
uh-huh.
not trying to be your friend and say yes. Now I have that. So your
accountability
blessings will come. They will rush you to move. You won't have peace, but they will come because they're there to set you off track and to take you off your square.
Jesus. Thank you so, so much. Again, one of our distinctive brothers, Mr. Reginald Foreman, right here on the Morning Glory International Voices of Hope. We are so honored that you stopped by today. We honored what God is doing in your life. For more information, to purchase one of his T-shirts, to purchase a book, please go to ReginaldForeman.com. We have put it up in our fan page on Facebook. If you're not a fan, please join today. Amen. That's the Morning Glory, IVO Hope, as well as is on my wall today, Kim E. Underwood. We love you. We appreciate you. And please, don't find it robbery. Don't take too long to be back with us. We would love to have you back here on the radio. God bless you, Reginald.
Awesome. Thank you. Had a great time. I pray that everybody was touched and empowered. In Jesus' name, I come to impact and not impress, because everything that I've been able to do, you can do on your own level. God has called you to greatness.
Amen. God bless. Thank you so much. God bless you. Amen. What an awesome guest today. The Lord was all in the building. What an awesome, amen, friends and families that you are who are still with us as we go into our other half of our show. Are you ready to find out what's happening in your communities and what's going on around the globe? Yep. Well, guess what? It is time for Radio Angel to take the mic as she introduces our what's going on right here on the Morning Glory International Voices of Hope. We'll be back. Going on, you know, Minister Kim has changed our section to what's going on, what's happening in the community. I still like the old name, just want to put that out there. Maybe you guys will back me up on that. You know, I like the old name, but we have our new name. It's what's going on in your community. Well, as you know, we love to bring different events that are happening in the community, whether the community is in Africa, Connecticut, or right here in the Boogie Down Bronx, New York City, New York State. We like to bring it to you live in effect. So today I am so excited because we have Clarence. Yay! who is from Grace Gospel Temple, which is in Queens, New York. I had the pleasure of actually meeting him, his wonderful wife, at a singles retreat last year. Yes, I went to a singles retreat, my very first singles retreat, and I had such an awesome time. So I invited him to come on the show to kind of talk about what's going to go on at the retreat, because he is one of the facilitators at the retreat. He's going to be talking about finance. Single people, what's going on with your finance? So, Clarence, welcome to the Morning Glory International Voices of Hope. Thank you so much for taking the time out to come and really talk to us about the singles retreat that's happening.
Sure.
Next month.
Thank you for inviting me. Well, the singles retreat is going to be happening up at Eddie Farm from July 8th through the 10th. And it's really an opportunity for single people. And let me just define single, because sometimes people only think of single people as those that have never been married before. But, you know, a single person is someone who is divorced. A single person is someone who's widowed. And single people can be any age. So you can be 20 and be single. You can be 80 and be single. So, and it's really a time to get away and address the needs and the issues that single people deal with. It's one thing to be in a married relationship with a person and you have two people working together to push towards similar goals. But sometimes when you're a single person, you don't necessarily have that comfort or that support or that other person that you can kind of just lean on and say, hey, I'm struggling, or I'm hurting, or I'm weak, or I'm feeling great, you know. And so it's just a time to get away, to get encouraged, to hear from God, to sit in His presence, to enjoy good fellowship, and you know, just it's a time just for you to refresh and renew and recharge and restore, and getting away from all the distractions of life. And we all know that there are many. And so we set this weekend apart to really allow people just to do that, to spend 3 days just enjoying God and enjoying His presence and kind of quieting your heart so that you can just kind of hear from Him without the distractions of everyday life.
And what's so interesting is I did have an opportunity to participate in the singles retreat last year, which was the very first time I have ever went to a singles retreat. And it's very interesting because the leaders of the group, which is Clarence's leaders, they are, when I say down to earth, I mean like really down to earth. You know, because sometimes you go places and you go to churches and stuff like that, and you feel some kind of way. You feel some kind of way
right.
because you think, you know, maybe you're not dressed nicely, you don't have enough money, whatever, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But you feel some kind of way. And it's so funny is that his leaders are, like, super awesome. When I say down to earth, like, I sat down and spoke with, Pastor.
Clarell or Wilton? Which one?
No. I spoke to the wife. I sat down
Clarell.
And I was telling her what was going on in my life at that time. And she was just straight up. She was like, well, you know, it looks like, I'm going to tell you this. This is me talking, and this is according to the word. And each thing that she said was on point. And she gave me some type of relief, you know, just the whole thought. And then the other thing, what was so nice is that Eddie Farm is such a great place to be. It's like, first of all, if you think you're going to talk on your cell phone, that ain't happening at Eddie Farm.
That's true.
Even when you try to get on their internet service, it still ain't working. So it's a really great place. Tell us a little bit about the place because, you know, this place is really nice.
Well, Eddie Farm is kind of I like to say a little bit of a step back in time because it's really right on the banks of the Delaware Water River, so you know it's peaceful, it's serene, and you're right that cell service is at a minimum there, and you know sometimes that's good because sometimes we're just so tied into our technology and our communication devices that we just don't know how to shut down sometimes. And every now and then it's good to kind of shut it down. So if you like nature, if you like the outdoors, if you like good food, then it's a really wonderful place to be able to experience and enjoy those things.
Now let's talk about some of the workshops that are happening this
year.
I'm really, really, really excited about the workshops this year because I really feel like the workshops that are being put together this year are really targeting single people, are really targeting them. And these are different issues that we have that we need to get under control, that's one. And two, other issues that we just need to look at. So let's talk about the workshop.
Sure. Well, as part of the retreat, we have like breakout sessions, and we're gonna have three different workshops that we're offering. The first one is called Entitlement versus Enrichment. You know, and it's really about your mindset, and it's kind of studying the life of Michael, who's the daughter of Saul. And then we're going to be talking about leaving a legacy. You know, I think sometimes we are all wondering about purpose and are we impacting those that are in our circle of influence. So we're going to spend some time talking about that. And then we're going to talk a little bit about finances, but that's one of our workshops, and really what's the right mindset that you need to have when it comes to approaching your finances. How do you do that the right way? What is an appropriate mindset to have? Because, you know, a lot of times people get messed up because their thinking is wrong, you know, and especially when it comes to their money, they think about it in the wrong way. So we're going to look at biblical principles to see how we should approach our finances and our money. So I'm really excited about that. So it should be a lot of fun, and it should be, you know, getting you good sound information that's practical, that's real, that you can take with you and apply it in your life once you've gone from there.
Yes, I'm excited about the workshops. I really am excited about the workshops. But not only do we have the workshops, there's going to be general sessions where we actually go before the Lord, and
yes,
that's going to be
yes.
awesome. And mm-hmm. then we're going to have our mingling on Fridays. I'm super excited about that.
Yes. So on Friday, we're going to have a we're going to have a special guest DJ there on Friday. So, you know, spinning the wheels and just an opportunity for people just to kind of hang out and relax and mingle and get to know each other and then have some nice, wonderful music and a nice, comfortable environment. So we're excited about that. And then on Saturday night, we're going to have a live Christian jazz band. It happens to be a band that I'm part of. It's called Euphoria. And we're going to be playing some live Christian jazz music. And just, again, just a time to just kind of, you know, there's times of refreshing, and refreshing comes mm-hmm. in a lot of forms. You know, some of refreshing is in God's presence, and some is just when you can just sometimes allow your body just to relax and maybe just soak in some nice music or a good conversation or, you know, coffee and a cupcake could be refreshment. You know what I mean? So we're going to enjoy those moments and, you know, allow you to refresh your body and refresh your spirit at the same time. So we're really excited about it. This is the first time we've actually had a live band performing. So we're really excited about that.
I'm super excited.
Yes.
So listen, listeners, I was there last year, and I had such a great experience that I had decided to go back again this year. So now you already know, if I'm promoting something, you already know it's got to be good. You've got to be good. So we're inviting everybody to come. Listen, it's not expensive. When you actually go there, they have rooms for $160, and that's the whole entire weekend. And it includes your food. That's not a bargain. Clarence, if that's not a bargain, there's no way you can go in New York or wherever for $160 for the whole entire weekend. And it's included
food.
Right. So they have different levels, but that's where it starts at. That's where it starts at. So there's no excuse for not coming out. Singles, we need to be able to unite. We need to be able to get information. We need to be able to get support. And this retreat, you will get that because I've met a lot of friends there. Dee, 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 dee. So we are definitely inviting you. Once again, Clarence, tell them where they can get the information from.
Sure. They should go to eddiefarm.com. And Eddie is spelled E-D-D-Y. So that's very important. And then farm, F-A-R-M. .com. So if you go to eddiefarm.com, you can get all the information you need about their singles retreat, how to register, who to call, all that stuff is there. You know, just go there, and we look forward to seeing you in July. It's going to be fun. It's going to be exciting. And most importantly, God is going to show up because he's faithful to do that. He says, you know, where two or three are gathered, he is there in the midst. And most importantly, we are just looking forward to him showing up and doing what he does. So, and when you create that environment and allow him to do that, then you just don't know what's going to happen. But needs will be met and people's hearts will be restored and refreshed and encouraged. Why? Because we created an environment that's going to say, God, we're open, we're here, now you do what you do. And so that's what we're really excited about.
Amen, amen. So also I want to invite anyone who's in the Queens and Brooklyn area of New York City to actually come out to your church where they'll definitely receive a phenomenal word. And the church is Grace Gospel Temple. I'm sorry, Grace
Tabernacle.
Gospel Tabernacle.
Yes.
And tell them where there's where they're located and your service
sure.
hours.
We're on you know, it's crazy. I just forgot the address, but
it was 96-09
Springfield
Boulevard.
Forgive me for
that. And Queens
yes.
Village. Don't worry about
Queens
it.
Village.
I was there last week, and I really enjoyed it. I
yes.
came at the end, but I was so upset that I came at the end because the pastor was saying something. I was like, because I was just like, what he was giving at the end was so juicy. It was like an orange. Mm. It must have been a navy orange with the juice. And I'm like, so I'm only eating a little bit. Like, I got to go back and get the taste. It was so good.
Yeah,
so we do invite everybody to come out. Services
yep.
start
so
at
11 o'clock. So we meet every Sunday at 11. And then we also have a midweek service prayer meeting at Wednesdays at 7 o'clock. And we also do Sunday school, Bible hours. So if you just want to sit and, you know, open up the Word and be able to kind of dialogue back and forth and ask questions, we do that at 10 o'clock on Sundays as well. So we're on Springfield Boulevard right by Jamaica Avenue in Springfield, right across the street from the Queens Village Long Island Railroad Station. So so that's where we are. We invite you to come and just experience God's presence. You know, one of the things our church is noted for is just we love to spend time just waiting on God and allowing him to do what he needs to do. So mm-hmm. we just don't believe in rushing through, you know, God, we're here, we're taking our time and we're waiting on you because we need you and we need you to speak. And God has been faithful to us to do that. So so come visit with us, worship with us, come hang out with us on a Sunday or Wednesday night and, you know, just experience God's presence. And, you know, because awesome things happen when you get into God's presence. And I think you know that, sister. So
absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
Just awesome things happen. So, you know, it's amazing how situations and circumstances change just when you get into God's presence. And even if the circumstance doesn't change, your approach and your opinion of it or your attitude or your view of it changes because now you're seeing from his perspective and not from your own. So it's just a tremendous thing to do that. So we encourage you to come worship with us on a Sunday, come up to 80 Farm. We're excited and we're looking forward to it.
And I just want to add for parents, they do have a children's ministry. So just because you have children, don't let it be a deterrent. Like, oh, I don't want to listen to
yes.
service, but they do have children's ministry going on while you are receiving the word. Thank you so much, Clarence.
Hey, can I just say
one
more quick thing? Can I say one quick thing too? We also have a special needs ministry too, so that we offer once a month. So if you have kids with special needs, we do offer that those services as well. We do it once a month, so it's not just, you know, we're trying to reach every spectrum. So so I just wanted to throw
mm-hmm.
that in here as well.
Excellent, excellent. Thank you so much. Thank
no
you so
problem.
Much, Clarence.
Appreciate
I can't
it.
Wait to get back up to the farm and just chill out. Thanks
yes.
so much, and I'll see you on the farm. And everybody
yes.
else, we'll see you on the farm.
Yes,
all
you
right,
will.
Then. Thank you.
Take care now. All right. Bye.
We'll be right back.
I thought I would never make it.
Awesome. Thank God for Clarence. And it's called, let me just say this right now, because I know Kim is like, I want to go back to In the Hood. Well, you know, we're moving forward. We're coming up to our eighth season here. So, you know, change is good. And sometimes it's hard for some of us to change, to adapt to change. So hopefully y'all help Radio Angel adjust to here's what's happening. You know what we're going to do? It just came to me. What we're going to do for Radio Angel, because she's dear to my heart. Let's take a poll. Let's do a survey. If you would like for us to continue with In the Hood or transition fully into Here's What's Happening, email us at themorningglory.org or inbox us, whether while we're on the radio, call us in and say, hey, no, I like In the Hood or Here's What's Happening. Let's do a survey, and the one who gets the most votes will win. So we have a survey. Will you like still with In the Hood or Here's What's Happening in our season 8, which kicks off in the month of September. 8 seasons, 8 years being on the radio. God, it's
does
so awesome.
Does this mean I can come on here and we can plead? Like, I plead
yep,
my
can
course
do all that. Yep,
why I should be in
that,
and you plead the course of why it should be changed to what's happening? All right.
Yeah, we
right.
could do all that. Yeah.
Y'all going to vote
right.
for me.
So, yes, please vote for her. Please vote. So let's vote, but so we can solve this and go into where God wants us to go to, whether it's In the Hood or Here's What's Happening. I love y'all. Thanks for participating. So don't Kim. Now you can't be calling people up and threatening them and all that stuff and having them.
Excuse
you know, say no,
me.
The one you can't
I
be doing all that.
I would never threaten anybody to vote my way. I may
okay.
send them some gift cards, but I won't
see?
Threaten
see?
Them. Hey, everybody likes
uh-huh.
a Dunkin' Donuts card. Come on now.
Please. I know that's right. Dunkin' Donuts.
All right,
come
all right,
on.
All right. All
right. I like
I'll
vanilla.
Be good.
Be good. All right, we got to do this.
I'll be good.
We got to do this legit, okay? Legit.
Okay, fine.
Okay, all right.
Myra,
okay,
you know
so
you're going to vote
ready?
For me. Okay, I'm sorry. Bye.
No, Barbara's going to vote for me. Carol was going to vote for me.
Carol.
Carol St. Carr in the house today.
No.
Shouting out Carol.
She's not voting for you. She's voting with me.
Okay, she can vote for me. She vote for me.
And
Carol.
Barbara's voting
we
for me.
We got North Carolina
too.
In the house today.
I'm going to have to
okay,
call
listen,
Reggie and see if he'll vote for me. I'm sorry.
All right.
No.
All right,
before
we go, let's wish everybody a happy. Now, turn your mic off. Turn the mic off. Let's begin to wish everybody a happy birthday. You know how we do. We like to celebrate you. Amen. Let me tell you, I am so honored to be able to celebrate you and you sharing your loved one's birthday with us here on the radio. Yesterday was a dear friend, when I say was, not passing, but she's not a friend of me, but this dear friend of mine was going through some stuff a couple of years ago, and I'm so grateful that God allowed her to celebrate another birthday. That is Clear Carter. I mean, she was going through cancer, breast cancer. She is still here to celebrate. So please keep her lifted up. She celebrated a birthday on yesterday and on today. Delise Jones. Oh my God, this is an elementary friend, saint. She's a wonderful worship leader. Today is her birthday. We want to celebrate her, and we want to celebrate all of you. Amen. If you are having a birthday this month, please email us hope@themorningglory.org or inbox us at
at the Morning Glory IVO Hope so that we can celebrate your birthday or your loved one's birthday right here on the Morning Glory International Voices of Hope. And don't forget, amen, if there's a distinguished man in your life and you would like us to shout them out throughout this month, please inbox us. Do the same. We never leave this broadcast without giving someone an opportunity to accept the Lord as their Savior. All you have to do is confess with your mouth and believe with your heart that God sent his only begotten Son for you to have life and more abundantly, and you will be saved and be able to enter into the kingdom of the Lord of Lords. So we welcome you in this God-given life. Continue to grow in God by getting yourself into a Bible-teaching church. We have an awesome church here in the Bronx. It's called Kingdom Life Temple under the tutelage of the Dr. Thomas S. Cooper and First Lady Lynette Cooper. Oh, God, it is an awesome fellowship. We start prayer at 8:30 in the morning, worship service at 9:45. The word is clear, is cutting, is moving, and you will leave there not the same way you came in. That address is 3030 Jerome Avenue. That's in the Bronx, once again, near Bedford Park and Jerome Avenue. I hope to see you. And if you see me, I'm Minister Kim. Amen. Just ask for me, and I will definitely come and give you a hug and greet you in love. God bless you. We'll be back on the air next week, same time, same station. God bless you. Have a good one.
You're listening to the Morning Glory International Voice of Hope with Minister Kim, providing you with that gleam of hope.